6.5% was it? Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round by round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust, this is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary cap. Chris, Matt, Anna, and Adam.
Welcome to another episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com. I'm Chris at Lightforce, joined virtually by Anna Forsyth, A4Sy03. Anna, she be like overseas.
Yep, many miles away. But through the magic of the internet, here I am.
Yeah. It's interesting because I have to point out your connection there seems to be better than your connection here at home.
Oh yeah. Well, so I'm in my stepdad's studio right now, and he has like always had better internet in his studio than in his house. So that's why we're not doing it in his house. But yeah, this is where I am right now. It is stupid hot, as I was saying before we hit record. It is warm in London. Only getting warmer, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, and it's, you know, same old here, but a little more humid. I mean, not that it's not humid where you are. It's just, I've always been of the thought that I'd rather have a lot of heat than humidity.
I mean, same. That's why I kind of like being in Vancouver. We don't usually get too much. London, we don't really usually get that much humidity either. So it's just dry heat here, really. But it does feel too hot. Anytime I've had to take the tube, it's not been fun.
Yeah, like summer vacations that I've gone on where I've gone onto the Okanagan, it can get some stupid hot temperatures there, but it's the stupid hot dry heat, and it's like, okay, I can manage this. I can do things, right? But when like we get the stupid hot humidity heat here where you start to learn that there actually is a temperature and a level of humidity that is unsafe for people to live in because the humidity reaches a point where your body no longer has the ability to cool itself.
Yeah. I mean, I run hot anyway, so I'm not massively enjoying this.
You do run hot.
Yeah, thanks. I'll write that one down for HR. But yeah, I don't know. It's funny, like, so next weekend I'll be in Scotland, and it's meant to be like half the temperature and cloudy and maybe raining, which doesn't bode well for the wedding I'm going to, but we'll see.
I mean, I've never been to Scotland, but like if you were to ask me, Chris, how do you picture Scotland? I'd be like kind of cooler and damp and cloudy.
I mean, it's only Edinburgh. You'd expect it to be somewhat similar, but what are you going to do?
Yeah. But no, we're here together on a weekend, another weekend show to talk a little bit about what's happened in the last 2 weeks, of which there has been a couple of things. You know, 2 weeks ago, there wasn't a Stanley Cup champion because those darn Avalanche just couldn't get the job done.
Yep.
But then they got the job done.
In six, as we kind of pretty much they would.
Yeah. And then, obviously, the NHL entry draft has taken place. Lots of players got picked, trades involving teams not named the Vancouver Canucks. You know, I mean, there's stuff and things and whatnot. And so we'll talk about that. And then, I mean, all the big, big, big Vancouver Canucks news that's going to happen, you know, and maybe a deal being signed in the last couple of weeks is going to happen probably like tomorrow after we stop recording.
I'm almost certain that's, you know,
the way it is. But let's start rewinding the show up. So as we mentioned when we recorded 2 weeks ago, the Colorado Avalanche just couldn't get the job done. They allowed for this game to be taken away from them back into Tampa for game six. And, you know, both of us had said, you know, we had to pick a team. It's going to be the Avs. They're going to win in six. And then I floated the idea that, well, if Tampa wins in six, I'm not as confident about Colorado winning in game seven. That was moot.
Yeah.
But It was a lot closer of a game six than, you know, maybe it should have been.
But. Yeah, I mean, it seems to just like forever ago now, but 2-1 final score. It was like in the last few games of the playoffs, the kind of seesaw element had leveled off. Teams weren't flattening teams anymore, and it was just getting tighter and tighter, as you'd expect. But yeah, it was kind of satisfying to see Colorado win, I think. They're both very skilled teams, but, you know, Tampa have had their turn.
Those cap manipulators.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like, I don't blame Tampa, but you can still be annoyed at it happening, so.
The throw a Vancouver Canucks spin on it. I think for us as Canucks fans, we look at sort of what Tampa's doing. They're taking advantage of a situation that every team out there can take advantage of. And they'll likely not be punished for it. Yet the Vancouver Canucks, who took advantage of a situation that existed for all teams, that the league determined we don't like the situation and we're retroactively going to punish you for doing something that you were completely legal in doing. In fact, it was like perfectly fine. Blows my mind. And then to have the, you know, wherewithal to go and say, we're actually going to follow through on this punishment. All teams, you know, have had this situation and many other players have, you know, retired and been whatever and this, that and everything. And now the NHL is going to take it to the Canucks. But I mean, Tampa's got it made in the shade. They could have like 20 people on LTIR and have them all play in the playoffs and open A-okay.
Yeah. Do you wonder if Luongo is like the first player to go straight from cap recapture to the Hall of Fame? But
anywho, it's the water under the bridge at this point, considering that Luongo's, you know, penalty is off the books, I think, going into the season, right? So,
new leaf and all that. But yeah, overall, I think it was a pretty good playoffs. Not too much overtime, like real scarcity of long overtime. So I don't know if that makes it more fun or less fun, but overall, a good playoff, some really fun scores. And
yeah, I mean, how often do you have multiple games where there's 8 goals scored, not because there's an empty net?
Exactly. So yeah, overall enjoyable couple of fun storylines, but yeah, very pleased for Colorado, and like weird chickpea pasta dude Nate McKinnon, but yeah, and they seem to be like really enjoying the celebration. And I mean, in fairness, like I think Washington partied for the whole summer after they won in Vegas. So
yeah,
go off.
The I don't know if you remember seeing it, but I had dropped a tweet from Travis Yost in the C4 Discord. In 2016, the Colorado Avalanche had finished 30th overall. 2016-17, Vancouver finished 29th. Their goal differentials were pretty in line, and Vancouver had a slight bump over Colorado. Since that point, Colorado then takes a big dive the following year. And into 2018 and beyond starts a very steady climb to where they have over a goal differential of, you know, plus 100-ish. Then you have the Vancouver Canucks. The Vancouver Canucks are in a steady decline where they end up having a goal differential of approximately dash 150 over, you know, that sort of point in time. Could you imagine if the Vancouver Canucks had reasonable front office management over this period of time, what things would be like? I mean, it's interesting because people would look at, well, Colorado, they've got a McKinnon, they've got a McCarr, they didn't just sort of, you know, uncover these, you know, gems because they were lucky. I mean, they were bad, but then they proceeded to go and work to get better, making smart acquisitions, acquisitions, trades, they signed the right players at the right time. And then you have the Vancouver Canucks, who were just that, you know, one player away from a Stanley Cup.
Yeah. For a long time. Weird.
Anyhow, I'm not bitter. Do I sound bitter? I'm not bitter.
Yeah. Well, I guess the joy of Colorado winning means we might get 2 days with a cup in BC with Bowen Byram and Devin Taves, so.
Mm-hmm. It's the closest that Vancouver Canucks fans will get to it, is what you're trying to say?
For now.
Yeah. Actually, I'll be honest, I think it's also for a while.
Yeah.
But
not
I, I'm
forever. Eventually.
I'm trying to remain optimistic because we are seeing some, I'd like to say some progressive movement within the organization. You know, maybe on the organizational side, on the ice side. We may have to wait into the season, but before we get into all of that, obviously congratulations to the Colorado Avalanche. The Vancouver Canucks also made a tidy bit of business in getting one of their, you know, free agents, I guess. I mean, he was a free agent signed in Brock Besser. And in doing so, got him signed to, I think, a reasonable amount of money. We're going to see him at 6.65 over the course of the next 3 years. When you factor in the actual, you know, value comparative to the rest of the team, he's below PD. Yeah, he's above, you know, Bo. He is also below the first pairing of the blue line, although the one that matters is Quinn Hughes. I think the 3 years is a reasonable number. It does give me pause to wonder what will happen 25-26, sorry,
mm-hmm.
When he is a free agent. But then, you know, maybe that's just a whole lot of room to go and maneuver. Maybe, you know, Brock has sort of reached his peak and it's his performance, but.
Yeah, I think it's kind of good for both sides. Obviously, Brock had a down year last year for a lot of it. He was struggling with a lot of personal things, mainly his father's ill health, and it seemed like it really affected him, and fair enough. I think we're not quite sure where the Canucks will be in 25-26 and how well Canucks have rebounded and able to shed some contracts or not. So I think it's a case of, okay, like, clearly you didn't have a great year, but we're putting some faith in you to sort of recapture that.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they're hoping that if he does recapture some of his, well, he did decently. He did rebound decently, but you know, like if he gets to a better place performance wise, they might also be in a better place to offer him a better deal at that point.
Yeah. The thing leading up to the deal, however, that kind of blew my mind is how the rumors were abound. The Vancouver Canucks may have considered not qualifying him mm-hmm. as an RFA. For those that might be curious, why is that important? Well, a player who is a restricted free agent does need to be qualified by their team. And there's parameters as to what a qualification offer can, requires. And it's based on player performance, player age, what have you. But there's a specific number. And generally teams, they qualify. I mean, it's like why the player can say no, but then the player remains property of the team as a restricted free agent. There's compensation if someone else tries to sign him, blah, blah, blah. If Brock Besser, let's say, was not qualified and becomes a UFA, you have to think there's, you know, 31 teams that would probably pick up the phone and say, hey, Bess, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to suggest every one of the teams is looking to go and provide him a whole lot of money, but I think, you know, his agent gets a lot of phone calls. Now, when I heard this at first, it was from a friend of the show, Jay, in C4 Discord. I'm like, oh, man, you're just, you know, taking out that big wooden spoon, tossing it in the pot and giving it a good stir. But then you start hearing it actually from, you know, those in the scene. I was concerned. Not going to lie. I was like, I don't get it. I don't understand. Why would you even threaten that? But apparently it was to say how serious the team was at managing their cap.
I think it's a case of, I mean, the 7.5 million kind of figure, like, I think we'd all be concerned if Brock re-signed for that, like, So I understand, like, I'd be curious, because I think the discussions were pretty ongoing and making progress all the time. I don't know if Canucks are really playing hardball there or not. Obviously, we can't.
Well, we'll never know.
But yeah, I think, don't think Canucks were trying to, like, get rid of Brock at all. I think it's just that 7.5, it's like, they're trying to get the number down between them to a number that satisfies them, and obviously, like, they're not going to sit down on the table being like, you were terrible last year because your dad died. Like,
oh, no, no. I mean, it's...
There's, like, numbers there that you can point to and say. Like, they're going to show some understanding, but also say, like, Brock Besser as a whole hasn't, like, shot to stardom, like, on a super fast trajectory. So,
yeah. I think, you know, the internal comparison is, are you better than Petey?
Which he isn't, like, and has the only time he's ever been is before Petey got here. Like, there's yeah, been, I mean, times when he's performed better than Petey, but he's,
yeah, on a consistent
but
basis.
He has, I mean, never, I think it, in my mind, ever been close to Petey as, like, total skill package as a player.
The fact remains, though, that Canucks did, you know, sign a tidy bit of business with him. And I think the Besser signing happens because the JT extension does not. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
It's good to see that this front office was not waiting for one to do the other, as the previous front office was often
caught doing, running out of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you got to approach it day by day.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, it's not necessarily, like, either or, but it kind of is. It's, yeah, like,
and it, well,
just,
well,
because,
I mean, right now, like,
you can only afford both of them on a short-term basis, and JT's,
I mean,
not going to,
yes,
sign a short-term deal.
JT's under contract going into next season, but I mean, when you look at the Vancouver Canucks, like, cap picture right now, they have just over $2 million worth of space going into the season. Now, that $2 million of space, you know, that they were to go and, you know, put on the books, also has to take into consideration that they do have a few contracts on IR. Now, that those contracts would be counting within the $2 million of space, but, you know, you can't go and play around like, oh, well, you know, Tucker Poolman, he'll be on IR forever.
Forever.
That's 2.5 there. Like, it's, you know, I mean, the other one is, I think the Michael Ferland, mm-hmm, deal is not one
that's
to...
That's not going
to
be resurrected.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately,
point.
Ferland is not in a good place health-wise, at least last we heard. But I think that when you are the Vancouver Canucks now, you signing Bo means you need to move someone. Mm-hmm. If you had, if the Vancouver Canucks and JT Miller were to come around and decide, yeah, we found a good place to have a deal. Like, I'm just looking at the Canucks cap going into 23-24. Yeah, so like 23-24, they'll have they already have a cap right now of 55 mil. 56 if I were to round up. That gives them approximately 25 million to play, mm-hmm, with, you know. Oh, Chris, lots of money to get JT Miller back. Bo Horvat is also an unrestricted free agent. So presuming Bo's coming back, but if not, okay, you're going to have to replace a Bo. You've got half of your forward lineup without contract. So there's players that you need simply to fill in a position. Your blue line will be pretty much cut in half. And so right there, that money starts going real fast.
Yeah. And like saying that when you're saying like the blue line's cut in half, it's not the expensive contracts coming off the books, right? That's yeah. I would have no concerns whatsoever if on the blue line one of OEL or Tyler Myers was coming off the books like after next year, then I'd be breathing a huge sigh of relief because you can sign like three players for what they're making. But
yeah,
the fact that we've still got another couple of years on Tyler Myers, and then as we know, the OEL deal goes till the end of time. So yeah, that's troubling. Like we signed a backup goaltender at a quarter of the price. That's something. But yeah, overall, like the next couple of years, they're still going to be really tight cap wise. So yeah, you know, Patrick and team have a uphill battle to fight, but they knew that going in.
Yeah. Anywho, we'll talk more about JT Miller a little bit later on, but Brock Besser is back on a 3-year deal at a reasonable amount of money. It provides the Canucks room, presuming they can work some magic with some of the other contracts that are on the books. But let's talk a little bit about, as Yapti described it, the boy auction.
Yes.
So many people actually refer to it as the boy auction. I was not aware of
this. I don't know
where
it started. I definitely didn't make it up, but it's definitely an apt name. I mean, like, when you hear, like, the very first day, you've got Elliot Friedman, like, literally about 5 minutes into the draft talking about a player as a physical specimen. It's like, okay, but he's not a cow. He's a teenage boy. yeah. I
mean, it could just go a little different ways. So, you know, collectively, when you think about the NHL entry draft, there was a player that was found at the top of most lists, but I think the consensus was that there was some sort of flexibility between sort of the first five, you know, four picks. Like, they could sort of move interchangeably. Having watched the movie Draft Day, okay, which, you know, it's a very good movie. I think you should watch it for C4 at the movies. Shane Wright allegedly had his teammates skip out on his birthday party. And as a result, that raised concerns that he then, you know, wasn't first round over or first overall material. If you haven't seen the movie, you're probably not getting the reference. Confused. Watch the movie. You'll get the reference. But, you know, Shane Wright did not go first overall.
Nope.
That went to Juraj Slafkovský. He was in the mix. Yeah. Like, it's just to make it very clear, like, we're not like, oh my goodness, who's this guy? Is he off the board?
First and some, but like, I would say Shane Wright was the consensus pick maybe until like a month or 2 months ago. Like, 90% of lists, 99% of lists had him up there, and then did start to shift more recently. Like, Logan Cooley was at the top of a couple of lists I saw. So, Slafkovský, not huge surprise, but, like, definitely an interesting one, especially with the home crowd right there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, it's interesting because when Montreal goes and says they're taking Juraj Slafkovský, you could hear the energy in the crowd shift where it wasn't upset. It was like,
confusion.
There was the group who totally know who he was. There was the group who were going to cheer anything. And then there was the group of the what?
Yeah. So it wasn't as, like, huge, but, like, I did hear that when he was walking around the Bell Center later, everyone was, like, cheering him wherever he went, so.
Oh, yeah, and he was, and it, you can tell a lot, I think, from sort of players' personalities, especially at that age, how they sort of embrace the role, and by all accounts, he was very friendly when people were coming up, he was engaging them, like he was, I mean, ingratiated himself quite well, I think, within that space, still a very young kid. Got a hopefully a long future in front of him, but yeah, you know, it wasn't that people are like, oh my goodness, what the heck? It's just the who? I hadn't done my research well enough. I thought we were going with player insert name.
Yeah, and then that was the interesting part, right? Like, you know, maybe other teams expected Shane Wright to be off the board as well, but or maybe they were, I'm sure they're gonna make their picks no matter what, but
And see, in the movie Draft Day, again, which is a very good movie, you should watch it, and maybe not Oscar award winning, but a very good movie nonetheless. Shane Wright not going first overall, you know, potentially throws things a little bit askew, but when the New Jersey Devils come up and say, we're taking Simon Nemec, suddenly it's like,
oh,
okay. Now, as you pointed out, you know, Bob McKenzie was telling teams who they should take on their way up.
I just love that image of just like him just wanting the world to burn a bit.
Well, okay. So if you don't know what we're talking about, Bob McKenzie, who he comes out for the NHL entry draft. He's sort of semi-retired, mostly retired. He used to work for TSN.
Mainly just
still sort of does
margaritas now.
Yeah. Now he's got a margarita brand. When Bob says something, it is ironclad. Uh-huh. Like when we go and say a Friedman's saying something, it's ironclad. Yeah. No, Bob's like another level like above Friedman.
Friedman is like 99% true and Bob is 100.
Yeah, Bob's 101. Yeah. So Bob was live tweeting who was going like first overall, second overall, third. Like he was like throwing the names out before like they've been announced on the floor. Yeah. So I actually then started wondering, when it says the pick is in, has someone handed it to Bob? And is he live tweeting what they've written on the piece of paper? They should just change it. The pick has been given to Bob.
But yeah, I also do not understand the people complaining about him doing that. Like, it's Bob McKenzie, unfollow him, like mute him, whatever you have to do for the draft. If that's the kind of, if that upsets you.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because people are like, oh, it's like Frank Saravalli ruining the expansion draft. Well, like, the expansion draft is a little bit different. Like, everything was in, and, you know, Frank ultimately got a list. Whereas, like, with this, the entry draft is not, like, who you want, if you're not, like, first overall, is defined by whoever's in front of you.
Yeah, and it was, like, maximum, like, 2 minutes before. Like,
yeah. So it's, you know, it's a whole different experience. But Simon Nemec goes to the Devils, which people are like, okay, yeah, we get this because now they might be going for a positional need, what have you. So when the Arizona Coyotes and their matching front office, who color coordinated and apparently got a warehouse deal on their suits.
They have to watch their pennies.
Got up. And like in their announcement, oh, we're so grateful to the, you know, city of Tempe and the University of whoever, and it's like, oh, we're going to have a rocking building, all our greatest fans. Yeah, all 5,000 of them. Like,
yeah, I anyhow. Think they like poking the bear at some point.
Yeah. They announced that they're drafting Logan Cooley. I think that at point, people are like, what is going on? Because, what is wrong? Why is
Logan Cooley, if you haven't been following super closely, is a center. Shane Wright is a center, so it's like, okay, there. It's not a positional need, even though it's hard to think. You would have to be, like, pretty hard up, like, pretty chock-a-block with centers to be like, no, I don't want a top center, but...
No. But anyhow, I mean, that just left the door open for our friends just down the highway in Seattle to sprint up to the stage and announce they're taking Shane Wright. Who then in turn presented what can best be described as a stare that can kill towards the general area that the Montreal Canadiens front office happened to be sitting. I don't know if that's what his intended death stare was or if it's sort of, you know, the resting face. Resting angry face.
My face most of the time.
Right? Like, but it was like, you know, a very determined look, smile. Very determined look, walk away. So,
but yeah, I mean, obviously, we'll get to see a lot of him. And along with Matty Beniers, they've got some pretty solid centers coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, what great fun for them.
But I mean, obviously, there are a ton of other players that got picked before the Vancouver Canucks. They had an opportunity to go in and announce who they wanted. I'm not going to go through all of them, though I do want to point out there was a trade in the early going. And so, first of all, Gary, he just soaks it up, man. He loves playing the villain, and he's out there. And then when the crowd just sort of, you know, drops the ball and doesn't give him enough booze, he goes and asks for it.
I mean, the timing was exquisite, right? Because the trade was announced before the fourth pick. So before Shane Wright had been picked, there was a... Gary got up to announce the trade, so the Montreal crowd were just like, oh my god, are we getting the fourth pick as well?
Well, so in the movie Draft Day, I mean, this is sort of akin, like, again, it's this team has first overall, goes off the board, what have you, and then goes in there. But yeah, it didn't end up working out to be that pick. But he gets out there and he says, you might want to listen, you know, which anytime he says that, you know, it's your team, like it's the team of the fans. And so he's like, Montreal has traded with the Chicago Blackhawks, blah, 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 I think it was. Montreal is then trading with the New York Islander. And so, or New York. And so it was Montreal, Chicago. And then it was like New York and Montreal, or maybe New York, Montreal first. But I heard New York Islanders. And I'm like, come on, the Canucks are in on this. The Canucks are in on this, which we'll get into again in Half Full, Half Empty. The Canucks are in on this. Yeah. But it's Montreal, Montreal.
But yeah, I mean, picking up the seventh pick just to choose someone. I mean, it's so hard to stay off the board in this draft, right? Like, there's so many different rankings. Mm-hmm. But, like, you gotta think, like, if you're, like, reaching up to seventh and then taking someone that's probably going to be around, like, past 15th, maybe 20th. Like, it was odd, but as we know, Chicago are just in full... blown rebuild / meltdown, one of the two. We'll find out later.
But you know, Canuck's name was not mentioned in such a deal. Get to the midway point of the draft leading up to 15, when the Jets go and announce that they're taking Rutger McGroarty, I think is how you say it.
I don't know. Yeah,
friend of the show Chris Faber goes and tweets out, Patrick needs to sprint up and say Jonathan Lekkermäki. And sure as hell, the Vancouver Canucks leisurely walked up and said Jonathan Lekkermäki. Yeah.
More Scandinavian way of saying that. Like, I mean, even Jonathan sounds different, so I'm not going to even try.
I've seen people already call him Letterkenny, you know, the Canadian reference. I'm a believer that you don't go and necessarily completely take someone's last name or name. And I don't know much about him. I mean, I'll be honest, I don't know much about most prospects. It's not an area that I really invest a lot of my time in, but by all accounts, people are pretty big on him being available at 15. I think Cam had him 8.
Right. And I think he was another riser because a lot of people had him higher than 15, but not necessarily in the top 10 if you asked like a month ago, but a lot of people had him in the top 10 going into the draft. Again, we didn't mention him in our last, in our pre-draft build-up because we had to cap the number of players and we had to find some way of narrowing down, so I think we just went positionally by D in centers. But Lekkermäki, who I thought was Finnish, and played in Sweden. No, he's Swedish with a Finnish name. But yeah, he is a right winger, big scorer, like shoot first player, which Canucks could always use more of. He's smallish, but you know, he's 18, so hopefully he will fill out. And yeah, I think also because of one reason why he might be rising is, you know, he graduated from junior and is playing with the big boys and doing okay.
Yeah. The, you know, playing with the big boys part is always interesting, especially when you look at someone playing in a Swedish Hockey League, because you are playing against some NHL talent there.
Yeah.
Not to the same extent as obviously playing in the NHL or possibly the A. But it, as a young player, helps sort of prepare you, I think. Like, you know, you hear a lot of young kids who, like, they're drafted and they go to their first camp and they're, like, just in the preseason at camp and they're like, whoa.
Yeah.
I feel that playing in the, you know, the SHL, that that woe was much more, you know, drawn because you had that moment a year or two previous when you started playing
yeah.
there.
Yeah, I mean, we should say, like, his team is in the Allsvenskan, so it is the second division, but I think what we're talking about here is playing with adults and playing with adult sizes. Mm-hmm. And that sounded weird, adult size adults, you know, but you know what I mean.
As opposed to child size yeah. adults or adult size children.
But yeah, there's the bigger bodies, better stamina, all that sort of thing. So yeah, that's important. I am curious what's going to happen with him next year because he says he's staying in the Allsvenskan. Like, right off the bat in his first interview. And Patrick says it's undecided where he'll go, because the Vancouver Giants have his North American rights, which is interesting. Would be a good place for them to keep an eye on him, but he wouldn't be playing with adults, so.
But the Vancouver Canucks have little say.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, I mean, that's just make it very clear. Like, they can, yeah, and they could, you know, strongly suggest and recommend and, you know, persuade, but that's really all it is. And until such time as, you know, he makes the switch, and even then the player still holds a little bit of, you know, power. It's just that right now he's just, you know, property of a team, and he's not under a contract, and the contract is ultimately what's going to go and make for that happening.
Yeah, but interesting.
I see, if he comes over to the, let's say he comes over to the Dub, and, you know, I actually don't know if the Giants are in sort of, you know, the upper echelon of the Dub or the CHL. Like, I know they're on
the rise for sure.
A playoff team.
Yeah, you know.
But you often see players, if they come over, they're put in a position where they get the ability to win early on, sort of get the taste of that. So is it possible that he plays for the Giants? Maybe. Could it be that part of the conversation is that we'll convince the Vancouver Giants to trade you to the whomever who's, you know, top of the CHL?
Yeah.
As has happened in the past. I mean, not specifically the Giants per se.
But. Yeah. Yeah, I think the main advantage would be keeping an eye on him. I think, realistically, it's probably better for him to stay in Sweden anyway. And then later down the road, look at when he might come over. But yeah, also, I did just check he's 17 because he's late birthday. He turns 18 in 2 weeks. So, young boy. Ooh, young kid. I'm sure he will get bigger for all those, you know, men in their 50s obsessed with 17-year-old size.
Well, he's only 5'10". He's short.
All right. He's not a goalie.
Continuing the boy auction as it pertains to the Vancouver Canucks. Vancouver Canucks had to sit out the second round. They did not have a pick.
They did try, apparently. But
they did not have one available. And so what they did is they made up for it in the third round by drafting Elias Pettersson.
Yep. Honestly, like, I'll be honest, hadn't heard of him, was not in the top.
You hadn't heard of Elias Pettersson?
Top, like.
Elias Pettersson's been playing for the Vancouver Canucks, and he is so awesome, they drafted him again.
But as we know, like, neither of us are, like, prospect experts. I do my reading, but not, like, I haven't been studying these guys all year. So he was not in the top, like, 70 or so I was looking at, 70, 80. Although, kudos to Chris Faber, I did just hear their pre-draft Canucks conversation. They did mention him, so, and they said not just because of his name. But yeah, I thought they were posting a throwback. I honestly did, and then I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, until the new Elias Pettersson, who's a defenseman, not a forward, comes up and says his favorite player, and the number that he wears is in recognition of Elias Pettersson.
Isn't it weird for that to be happening now? Like,
well, so, like Trevor Linden. I'll use Trevor Linden as an example. When Trevor Linden had announced his retirement, I remember him being on the TV and on the radio and whatnot. And people asked him, like, how did you know that you were going to retire? And he had said there was two things. One, he went to the dentist and actually got his teeth fixed. And, you know, that sort of helped him make the decision. It's like, I don't go do this if I think I'm going to play again. And two, he's like, I've reached the point when people's kids are named after me and they're old enough to, you know,
play in the league.
He's like, you know, that's, yeah, that's when you've reached that point.
He's 23. Like, but I mean, even Lackamacki said that his favorite player was Pettersson.
Well, I mean, it's amazing how many of these players have actually, you know, Pettersson. I can't remember who it was on Twitter. They had actually gone in and started diving into all of the potential future draft picks named Elias Pettersson. And the Vancouver Canucks could bloody well have, you know, two full lines and a goaltender.
I mean,
named Elias Pettersson. Also,
the drafted defenseman, Elias Pettersson, I don't know how we're going to differentiate them. In future, but he already plays with the Pettersson, so he's always been E. Pettersson on his jersey anyway.
Yeah. Speaking of that, you know, this is not the first time the Vancouver Canucks have had, I mean, we're not here where we have, you know, two Petterssons, Elias Petterssons on the same team, but the Vancouver Canucks have history having two players with the exact same name.
Oh, yes.
They had two Greg Adams.
See, that's what happens with two first names.
And ultimately, one of them became known as Gus. And I think the differentiation was one was G. Adams and one was Adams.
Right.
Like, it's long ago enough that I remember, but it's long ago enough that I didn't quite pay attention back as closely as I did back then.
Kind of different, but, like, Arsenal now have three Gabbies playing for them because they just signed another one, and because they're all South American, they're usually known by their first name. Like, anyway, so they're all Gabbies. And previously it was Big Gabby and Little Gabby. I don't know what the third Gabby's going to be, but just Gabby. But we'll have to figure that one out with, I mean, PD himself commented that they need to come up with a new nickname.
Yeah. Round four. Dahlman Gardner, center, round five. Tae Young, goaltender, who there was some question about. Interesting. Round six, Jackson Dorrington, defenseman. And in round seven, Kirill Kudryavtsev, who's also a defenseman.
Yeah, playing in the OHL. The only thing I have is Lauren Kelly, who I follow on Twitter, likes him. That's what I have. So I think that might be a decent pick in the seventh. But yeah. It's weird to question a goaltending pick because you know, in Ian Clark, we trust, but.
Well, and that's people are suggesting that's an Ian Clark pick. Like they're then, you know,
but he's not European. So
you question. Well, and you know, when you look at the Vancouver Canucks, I think, you know, the writing on the wall is Ricky DiPietro is probably going to be playing in a different jersey. I mean, he's sort of in this sort of in between, and he's seen, you know, others surpass him. So it probably does require for him to get an opportunity to be somewhere else. But beyond that, there isn't a whole lot more left in the cupboard. And so, you know, obviously it's important to draft a goaltender. If you're going to draft a goaltender and it's not a number one need, late round picks where you go.
And honestly, like, got a really good deal in the first round, and then the rest are centers and defensemen plus a goalie. Like, I think obviously it's all coin flips by when you're getting to the later rounds, but I think center and D is good to stock up on.
Them's the picks. We're gonna take ourselves a short break. You're listening to C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com and the Full Press Coverage Network.
Take hitting out of the game. You can't hit anymore, so don't do it.
The unsportsmanlike conduct, I want to get an explanation on.
No kidding.
Because how do you get suspended for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Plus interference. There's no interference there. He had the puck.
Now, Madison never ever did that before. Now, why did he do it? And that? Because he was mad.
Well, your early favorite for the Calder Trophy, that's for sure. Elias Pettersson, you might even say your early favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Just to get back to your question, Elias is going to play plenty. He's going to get a lot of power play time. And yeah, I'm concerned about our offense. We lost 200-point players, and we've got to find a way to score.
Okay, so JT Miller still a Vancouver Canuck, and if there was an episode as to which we don't talk about JT Miller, it's because he's been finally traded.
And
the problem is that's not yet the case.
And still, we're going to talk about him a little bit, but
well, we're going to talk about him in next episode, guaranteed. Like, I honestly do not know when we will stop talking about JT Miller.
Yeah, as you say, he is still a Vancouver Canuck. Came very close to that not being the case, we think.
Well, okay, and so to recap, if for some reason maybe you weren't paying as close attention to what was going on, what have you, or you're out in the summer enjoying life.
How dare you?
Leading up to the entry draft, you know, there were many sort of rumored teams to be in play for JT Miller. Apparently, Rangers and Islanders, as well as the Devils, had all come knocking. Word was that Pittsburgh was interested. Someone suggested Edmonton might be wanting a JT Miller. Was it LA? I think it was. Someone was rumored as being a destination. Like, there was, you know, all of these sort of, you know, different teams. But nothing seems to have come very close until something between the Vancouver Canucks and the New York Islanders. Now, I want to say it was like half an hour before the draft. I think it was Irv that first shared it. It's like, I'm really thinking something's happening. And like, just as the draft got underway, both Friedman and Irv come out and say, like, there's something happening. And generally speaking, Friedman doesn't go and make such a bold statement like that unless, you know, he's been told, here are the details of the deal, and we're just needing to find a pen that's working to sign the piece of paper.
Yeah. And, like, after the fact, like, yes, Patrick Colvin said nothing was happening. But he also, like, you saw that interview, if you watched his answer, his body language, his sentence structure, it was very much, oh, I don't know, well, I'm not really sure where these come from, but wasn't happening.
Yeah, well, so, and I mean, it what came out before this was that it fell apart at the table. And so people are like, what the heck? Like, how does something like that fall apart at the table? Because it's got to be, if they're, like, Friedman's saying it's this close, for it to fall apart at the table is like, where was the weak link in this entire chain? And so to hear all these, I don't know where that's coming from. And then to have Lou Lamoriello, when asked, you have to ask Vancouver, and he's quite irritated. Lou's irritated.
Yeah, I was going to say, most things.
You know, yeah, but something doesn't add up. I mean, I honestly do not understand why the Vancouver Canucks take the approach of, oh, there was never a conversation whatsoever. Like, why would you make such a definitive statement? Just, you could say, yeah, we've got lots of phone calls. I don't know what the rumors suggest it was any close. We didn't have anything that was that close. Right? Like, you hedge instead of the, like, nope, nothing, nada, wrong.
But does that not lend more weight to the fact, the argument that it was JT and maybe the agent being the stick-up point?
Could be, right? Because, yeah, I mean, then you're in this weird dynamic where, right? So, I mean, I had heard from a friend who, I'm going to be very candid here, what he tells me is more hearsay. But if you've seen, you know, it happens in the movies all the time where some of the people who are most connected with things going on happen to be like the, you know, like the janitors and the service staff. Like, it's the people, they're everywhere. They hear things, they see things, but you never really realize that they're there. He's connected in that regard. And he had said that, and I trust him because he's gotten a lot right. So that, yeah, the Vancouver Canucks have actually gotten to the point where there's been two teams that have been granted conversation to talk to JT's agent. Okay. I mean, that this is leading up to that. Like, that would make sense. Cause if you want to go and sign him, you probably want to go to try to extend him. And, like, you know, the way it works, we'll trade you player X. I want to talk to the agent. Well, that's going to cost you. That's going to cost you a little bit more, whether or not you can get an extension. So we've got our foundation. Now it's going to cost you a foundation plus a bit. And, oh, by the way, if you get an extension, that's going to be something more. And teams work that out in advance, right? They have a framework. So, you know, that type of conversation doesn't just happen for the sake of it happening. Then before the draft, he goes and messages me going to New York. I interpret this as the Rangers.
Yeah, well, they have been one of the names that repeatedly come up in the JT Miller.
Rangers. Right, yeah. But my friend says going to New York. So I interpret the Rangers. And then I see, I think it was Irv who I saw first saying Islanders. And I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, he didn't say Rangers. I didn't ask Rangers. I just interpreted New York as being the Rangers. It's going to be the Islanders. So I'm now fully invested in this. Okay, JT's going to the Isles. What's the return going to be? And like, if you look at the conversation in C4 Discord, we had already collectively come to the conclusion it was a deal. We were simply going to be upset if the deal wasn't sufficient.
Yeah.
Enough.
I was actually just like, honestly, like butterflies in my stomach, excited that like something was happening.
And the thing was, nothing came to be. And so if, you know, it fell apart at the table as sort of was announced, and Lou Lamoureux says, you have to ask Vancouver. Vancouver's saying, I don't know where any of that came from. And then to hear, I think it was Dhaliwal who came out yesterday and said that he has heard, like, he's definitively heard that the Vancouver Canucks aren't allowing teams to talk to JT Miller's agent, which is weird because, I mean, while that might be, if that is true, it seems to be completely off of the angle that you're getting from other insiders. I trust my buddy. I mean, he's not there. Yeah. So, I mean, it's possible because it's hearsay. It's just being misinterpreted. But if the Canucks aren't allowing teams to talk to the player agent, talk about an extension, does the, you know, then the Vancouver Canucks, do you not want to trade JT? Which is weird. I'm not so hung up over it having to happen at the draft, but you can't, like, the longer you hold on to JT, the less opportunity there will be to trade him to someone who's willing to offer you more. Because once we get to the deadline, now he's a rental.
Yeah. Honestly, like, I really hope we don't find out. Like, I almost don't want to know what the deal was in a way, because I just hope it doesn't come out, because we get a decent deal, like, maybe in the next week around free agency, and then we'd never have to hear about what fell apart in Montreal. Mm-hmm. But yes, that is like the opportunity, right? Like, you would say that JT Miller is like the 1B to the huge, you know, free agents that might be getting signed. So he might be the second best option that teams are going to get, but it's still a huge risk. You really hope it's like that if there was a decent offer, they were going to take it and not just waiting around for the sake of it.
Yeah. But you raised a good point just moments ago. Is it equally possible that the Vancouver Canucks and the New York Islanders sort of had a deal on the table, and in turn, that deal was contingent on JT Miller signing an extension? And after those conversations happened, that, you know, JT Miller and his agent had presented figures that were just obscene without the desire to budge. And New York wasn't willing to go in and commit. And possibly could they have gone back to Vancouver to say, well, without the extension, the deal changes to that. And Vancouver's like heck it does. Yeah. Right. Cause what would Lou say? Oh, you'd have to ask Vancouver. Like, whereas Vancouver had sort of said, we had a foundation. Now you're telling us you're not going to honor it. Like, I could see that, but it brings up the point that if teams are looking to make deals contingent on an extension, that puts all the power into JT's camp. Like, yeah, he's not a free agent, but he gets to determine as to whether or not he's going to sign with who and where and for how much. And that arguably is like having a no trade clause.
Yeah, because then exactly what's the difference? Because we're already saying that he has a, like, even without with setting that aside, he has a great deal of power. Like, he's not going to accept any lowball offer from the Canucks, either in terms of money or term. And why would he? Like, fair enough, he has that power, he's earned that power. But like, it is interesting to sort of, it's frustrating, honestly, because you're just thinking, maybe also because of the sort of PTSD we have of so many no movement, no trade clauses happening when Jim Benning was just handing them out like candy. But yeah, it's hard because you look at lots of other sports and this is the kind of power that every single player has. It's like, when hockey's never been like that.
It's the, you know, it's the sign and trade. You see it actually quite a bit in the NBA where teams will sign a player and then trade because you can get the extra year. But a lot of the deal, there's also incentive when you sign back with your original team. But once you've done that and you get traded, then the team that you go to benefits from it. A lot of that happens not because teams are just interested and they're like, oh, I make the best deal. A player does not feel the need to sign unless they want to. And a lot of players will go and sort of force the issue in the NBA specifically. We don't see it a whole lot in Major League Baseball, at least on the North America side. We do see it in the NFL to some degree, but the NFL is a whole different beast where the contracts themselves just aren't guaranteed. So teams take advantage of that frequently. So as a player, you don't want to put yourself in a too awkward of a position where you signed a phenomenal deal and then the team's like, YOLO, we're out. Here's your go away money. It's just an interesting dynamic that could very well be starting to take place in the NHL, and it in a hard capped league, there are only so many teams that can afford JT Miller.
That's the long and short of it. Like, he's in at least, you'd suggest, an $8 million player, like at least, and he'll be wanting 6 years at a minimum. So. Yeah. Who can afford to invest in that?
The other sort of scuttlebutt that went on the draft floor as it pertained to the Vancouver Canucks was Tyler Myers. Like, there was actually some thought that maybe it wasn't JT Miller that the Isles had looked to acquire, but it was instead Tyler Myers.
But is that... I'm trying to understand whether that talk is just because of the Romanov trade or there was actual, like... rumors about that, like those substantial sources that said it was Tyler Myers, so, or it's just like intuiting from the Islanders making the Romanov trade, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't, I think, okay, before, like prior to the Myers trade, I mean, Myers' name had come up, so I think it is fair to say that, you know, the there's truth to the possibility that Myers was going to move. I don't know if Romanov is a solution or what have you. But the thing about the Myers contract is Myers has a modified no trade. Essentially, he has to say there's 10 teams I won't go to. So I was actually thinking about this further. Is there another scenario that's possible where a team like, let's say, the Islanders would be upset with the Vancouver Canucks? Is it possible that Canucks did a Myers deal without realizing that Myers said the 10 teams include the New York Islanders? Because, see, he needed to supply this starting, like, on July 1, which is only just over a week ago, right? Like, actually, it would have been a week of from the draft. I mean, it is conceivable that you have this information, but you don't necessarily, you know, check the database quickly. And then it's not like a Romanov situation. From the Dadnoff, deadline where, or Dadnoff, sorry, wrong off. Dadnoff. But the thing is that, is it possible that Myers had said, like, he just, you know, he had to list 10 teams and that was one of them. I don't know.
I'm going to say I highly doubt that's the case. And that's not because I trust in all things administrative and about the NHL or the Canucks in particular, but more just because of the Dadnoff thing, that you would think they would just, like, had any sort of measures in place to be like, okay, as soon as the deadline comes, this is where the list goes. Like,
no, but like the thing is that we still don't know if there's actually a central registry that all teams can look at. Like, the NHL has said there is now a central registry where this all has to be filed. You know, again, we don't know. I'm just, and I'm just throwing stuff on a wall here. But, you know, if you were to go and presumptively are close to having a deal, only to say, oh, sorry, we can't because you're on the no-no list. We didn't realize that at the time. I mean, the difference here, Danoff got traded until he got untraded because a team did not even know that there was a list. I'm not suggesting the Vancouver Canucks didn't know that there was a list. They may have. It just may not have been front of mind as to who not to. Like, again, I don't know yeah. what they have in front of them on their computer, their laptop, and in Kyle Dubas's 6 phones, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah. I mean, I have 2 phones right now because I have my UK phone and my Canadian phone. I wish I could show you my UK phone. It's not tanned right now, but it's like an old, proper old school Nokia. Anyway.
Whatever. It works.
Yeah. That's the main thing. Anyway, off the rails.
Anyway, I mean, as it says, Myers is still a Vancouver Canuck. JT Miller is still a Vancouver Canuck. I wouldn't be shocked, actually, if Myers got traded. Like, I was talking to Jay about this, and he's a firm believer trade everything. But like Myers, people are like, why would people want him? Teams want big. They pay for big. $6 million for big is perceived to be a good deal. And Myers last year,
yeah,
he had a good season. He did. Is it $6 million worth of good season? Maybe not in our mind, but
I mean, I would say definitely not, and especially not for a team like Vancouver. But if you have some space, then maybe.
And $6 million off the books frees up a whole lot of room. I will completely agree. It leaves a ginormous
hole 6'8"
in the blue. But I mean, that you're not going to be able to fill that without some, shrewd, player acquisitions on your own right. So, anyhow. We'll talk more about that in 2 weeks' time.
It's weird. It's like almost like you're saying Canucks aren't going to win the Stanley Cup next year.
Oh, my goodness. Actually, is it too early to say that?
No.
Oh, man. Anywho, I'm genuinely curious what'll happen. And I was actually just thinking, I'd said in 2 weeks' time, but if I recall, we might actually have another show next week.
Yes.
Because we've got the Frenzy fast approaching.
I'm going to, spoiler alert, Wednesday? I won't be on it. But we should have a show next week.
Anna, how rude.
The wedding, as well as Free Agent Frenzy, the wedding season is upon me. So, unfortunately. Yeah.
See, it's a different type of Free Agent Frenzy where the free agents are no longer free agents.
Mm-hmm. True.
Right? That's how a wedding works. You were 2 free agents and now you're not.
Although,
you've signed on to each other.
Although there's no official documentation, no contract in place, I'm hoping there's unspoken agreements previous to the
Between players and teams, or brides, grooms and brides.
I mean the latter, but everything happens. All's fair in love and war.
We're all adults. As long as the adults consent, it's really all that's important. And I'm talking about hockey players, right? Because Tyler didn't want to go somewhere, or maybe JT didn't want to go somewhere, and therefore, there you go. Just thinking about Free Agent Frenzy. I mean, obviously the Vancouver Canucks will sign a player. That'll happen. But you're not expecting them to make a big splash, are you?
I would say no. The big splash that they may make is trades.
Actually, if they make trades, the empower the splash, maybe. But trades is it? That's it.
I mean, they've kind of signed a lot of their tweeners between Abbotsford and Vancouver already. And they don't have much space, so.
I mean, so you're telling me that Vancouver Canucks will not make a play for Jenny Malkin?
I'm going to say no.
But how about Johnny Hockey? He's still, I don't think he's yet re-signed with Calgary.
Forsberg re-signed, so no Forsberg, but.
Hey, Louis Erickson's available. Wonder if we could get a good deal there. Oh, gosh. You know what? Of all the conversation that we've been having leading up to the draft, the JT Miller, I never really took any consideration as to, the free agents that may or may not be available come come midweek.
Right. Mazin Kadri hasn't re-signed, right?
Let's see. I don't know. I'm just looking at the list on Cap Friendly here. Yeah, he's an restricted free agent. There's a, you know, and the Canucks have not had a player hated by other teams to that extent.
For a while.
Hey,
we have mountains too, Nazim. Just come on over.
Man, I'm just looking at some of these names here. Okay, PK Subban.
I love PK as a person.
He's only 33.
Yeah, he's been around a long time. I think he was kind of a boy wonder, wasn't he? But, and I think there's lots of reasons, and not a lot of them not his fault, that he hasn't been the superstar that he could have been. But, yeah, do not want to see Canucks signing 33-year-olds.
What are you talking about? They're in their prime. Get Paul Stastny. He's only 36. Oh, man. Alex Edler is available. Right the wrong. Sign him. Bring back Eddie. Although not that Eddie. Eddie Lack retired. He's a real estate agent now.
Yeah, we couldn't
afford him. Prognosticator over beverages.
Yeah. Yeah, as I say, I don't expect Canucks to do anything huge there. But we'll see.
Oh, man, I'm looking... So I'm looking at the top 50 and the contracts we were all happy to be off the books after this season. Jay Beagle, Anton Roussel, and Louis Erickson are all off the Coyotes books this season.
Yep. Weird they didn't pan out. I will say I'm...
And they're all in the top 50 by, you know, contract value.
I'm curious what's going to happen with Kaprizov as well. He's not been allowed into the U.S.,
Oh, yeah, and he's tried a couple of times to get in.
That's a big amount of money and a big investment by the Wild stuck outside the country.
Well, I think the money part, I think the Wild will be granted some form of dispensation for that, but dispensation for that. But it's just the situation itself,
I'm going to guess it's, that is going to be resolved. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've tried too hard for it not to be, but I think the lesson here is U.S. border agents are power trippers and do not want to be
point out, in my crossed. Experience CBSA can as well, and I'm a Canadian, so
border agents in general, I'm sure there are good ones out there, but a lot of them are just humorless people that would like nothing more than to make this the worst day of your life. So, not to be crossed, no matter who you are. So,
yeah. Anywho, wrapping up this episode, Anna's got a wedding to go to, one of the 17 that she's attending over the course of however much time she's been in the UK so far and continues to be there. But I did want to share a little news for those who've made it to this part of the show and happen to be one of our patrons. You may have seen it already noted on patreon.com/C4podcast. But we have paused your patronage for the course of the summer. Anna and I had been chatting and we'd sort of decided, because we know we weren't going to be able to provide even iota over the course of this period of time. And then obviously OTR has been a difficulty to provide, that it just made no sense that we would ask for you to support us while we can't provide anything in return. It's also given us an opportunity to sort of reconsider how we're going to approach this over the course of our next, you know, sort of season, because that'll be the probably first proper NHL season, you know, since the pandemic hit. Dates will be more in line. What we'll be, you know, expecting and looking to be able to cover will be more in line. So, you know, please stay tuned. But I did want to let you know if you happen to reach this point. July was paused, and Patreon makes it awkward. You have to pause on a month-by-month basis. So I will be logging in and pausing August as well. And then we had kicked around the idea of doing like a C4 open sort of event in August. There's no joy there because I can't get anyone to return a phone call or tell me that there's any means for them to have some structure on that. But I do think it would be kind of cool to have sort of a little get together.
Less formal than a golf tournament. That may be a plan for the future.
Kind of prop, probably a handful of us at a table where a beverage or two might be involved somewhere in an establishment in Metro Vancouver. I've really narrowed it down. But I mean, yeah, you know, Anna,
cross.
It's going to be west of like Commercial, probably south.
I live Broadway. East of Commercial, so just.
Yeah, but you like, I mean, the way Anna talks about it, like Vancouver exists in a four block radius.
It just stops, like I stop at the city limits.
Yeah, but your idea of the city limits is
literally
not
the city limits. I just don't go to North Van. I don't go to Burnaby. Don't go to Coquitlam. Maybe occasionally to Poco for a beer crawl. But
what about Richmond? I mean, I don't live there anymore, but that's beyond city limits.
I went to Richmond. Limits. That's why I'm here.
I know. And you were probably like, oh my God, this feels so awkward. Why am I here? Why couldn't they move the airport to Vancouver City Center?
Can't say I haven't thought about it. Like, I grew up under the Heathrow flight path, so I'm just saying. Plus,
no, but I was like, if it was if it was like Vancouver City Center, though, it'd be like, is it Kai Shek or whatever it was, the airport in Hong Kong, where like the 747s had to bank hard before they slammed into the mountain and then landed in between like skyscrapers? That's
Jumbo jets don't land at City Airport in London, but like big planes do. Well, at least pre-pandemic, they flew to New York from City of London. And, like, that's...
Yeah, it was like the commuter flight.
Right in the middle. Like, it's right in the middle of pretty much next to Canary Wharf, so...
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah. Privileged.
I'm just saying, they need to try harder to get the airport closer.
Oh, man. But anyhow, patrons, we've been put on pause. Everyone else, we're going to have an event, hopefully in August. Which I know we're getting close to, but we'll give you more than an episode's notice once we figure things out. We're just going to wait for Anna to get back on this side of that big pond called the Atlantic before we go and sort things out. Because, you know, who knows, maybe she'll find another 700 weddings to attend and extend her trip. But any final words of wisdom there?
No, just to clarify, not getting married myself unless something drastically changes in the next couple of weeks.
Don't say no to love. Say yes to the dress.
I did go to a bridal store yesterday. And I'll leave that there. It's really hot here. I'm going to go stand in the shower for 5 minutes before I watch 3 hours of Shakespeare. So that's me.
Oh, that's good. Go stand in your shower, then watch Shakespeare. Although I don't think there's necessarily a problem if you were to be in the shower watching Shakespeare at the same time. But I presume you're going to like a performance.
Yeah, going to the Globe.
Yeah, probably a little awkward there to have a shower at the Globe. The Globe? Oh, cool. I mean, I wonder how many of our listeners know what the Globe is.
If you don't, look it up. I'm literally spending £5 to there. Go. See 3 hours of Shakespeare.
That's a lot of money.
Not for the theatre. Don't get a seat for that, but...
Could you pay, like, I mean, could you pay £5 to go and watch something at, I don't know, Playhouse here in Vancouver? QE Theater?
Yeah, it would cost you, like...
performance of any sort there?
I'd say minimum...
£5 doesn't cover the Ticketmaster fees.
So, not bad.
Anywho. Final words of wisdom from me is I have none, but you already all know that. I'm just here because I like the sound of my own voice. But if you want to stay in touch with us and tell us how wonderful the sound of my voice happens to be, or something other than that, you can drop us a note at voicelink.fm/C4podcast. We have a phone number again, but I hate to give it out because the moment I do, I'll lose it again. That's what happens when you pay for the free phone service online. We have also C4 Discord, which is all the conversation takes place, discord.io/C4podcast. It's been pretty lively there, especially with everything that's been going on in regards to the Vancouver Canucks, JT Miller, the NHL entry draft, and they'll probably be crazy on free agent frenzy. And then obviously you can find us on social media at the C4 podcast on Twitter and facebook.com/C4podcast. So on behalf of Anna Forsyth, A4603, myself, Chris at Lightforce, signing off this episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Pull Fast Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Bye. We out.